Hey, welcome to Doorways to the Supernatural, and of course, I'm Pastor Peter Dosak, and this is...
Rob Kennedy.
There you go, right from the horse's mouth. And so we're going to be talking today about the gifts of healing, which is, you know, the basic is the only gift that is plural.
Yeah.
Unless we would say the working of miracles, of course.
Yeah.
But it's really the only plural gift that is there, and we'll kind of talk about that as we lead into it. But today we want to show you a couple of miracles that have taken place, so let's give our attention to the screen here. We'll see what God is doing, what he wants to do through you. Okay, and what's wrong with that?
It's causing some
Ela tem um problema, ela tem 20% de uma visão.
In the name of Jesus.
Veja o que você está vendo.
Okay.
Você está vendo o dedo dele? Yes, I see your finger. Had you been able to see out of before? This is one she found out.
Veria isso antes. A senhora teria condições de ter visto isso antes.
Onde eu fixo o olho, aquele lugar eu não vejo.
Wherever she fixes her eyes on, she can't see. She cannot see what she fixed the eye on.
You tell her to fix her eye on my hand.
Agora, então a senhora fixando o olho.
Não vê. Pastor, apertar aqui, eu não enxergo
o
seu olho.
Okay, fix your eye right on your hand. Fix seu olho nessa. Isso. Feche esse, fixa agora. A senhora está vendo?
Só um lado da mão.
Só um lado da mão.
É.
A senhora viu isso antes?
Via.
Ok. Yes, she sees just half of my hand.
All right, in the name of Jesus, God,
in the name of Jesus,
destroy this whole sight.
In Jesus' name,
we give all our power to God.
In the name of Jesus,
Satanás, você não tem poder sobre ele.
Você chora,
né? Qual é a glória?
Aleluia!
Está bem clara.
Está mais clara?
Está mais clara.
A senhora está vendo melhor?
Vendo melhor. Está vendo melhor?
Está vendo melhor?
Está mais clara.
Está mais clara. E agora,
Cícero?
O que é que a senhora vê?
Não vejo o dedo. Não vejo o dedo.
Não vê o dedo?
Não.
Como é que a senhora sabe que é o dedo? O que é que a senhora está vendo?
Okay. Sei.
Ok. She can't see my finger.
But she sees your hand.
Yes.
She sees all your hand.
Ok. Vê aqui. Ok. Ok.
And she's not there to see it.
Melhorou do que era antes. Okay. All right. Yes, it's gotten better.
All right, we're good. All right, now we're going to get the fingers.
Nós vamos orar de novo.
You tell her just when I tell her to see, you tell her to start looking.
Quando você vê, a senhora começa a ver.
In the name of Jesus. nome de
e nós liberamos esse milagre de Jesus. Abre teus olhos. Fecha esse.
Tá vendo
tudo?
Aleluia!
Alrighty, well, there you go. Now I know somebody's going to say, well, but you prayed more than once. I know it, but it worked. Yes. I wonder where the flaw is in all of that praying one stuff. But we're going to probably discuss that someplace in it. So we're going to start out today in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Rob, we're going to start verse 7 and go on down.
All right. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Amen. So we're going to be talking today about the gifts of the Spirit, plural.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked last week about where the gifts of the Spirit in the plural form.
Yeah.
That people would say that, well, sometimes people have a gift to pray for cancers, or people have a gift to pray for this or that. And I do believe that that is a portion of it.
Yeah.
But after the program, we started talking that I feel that a lot of the gifts of healing have to do with deliverance,
yeah,
addictions, abuses, alcoholic, and anything that has to do with an addictive nature.
Yeah.
Those things have to be, not only do people get delivered from, but they have to be healed from.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that if they don't, then it's like an open wound.
Yeah.
And whatever has left can certainly come back.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of times that the gifts of healing have to do with deliverances, addictions and things of that nature. So now, not all of them, but I'm saying that to say that in that class there is, because there is no what we would call quote-unquote deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
That is recognized, or, you know, they may be recognized, yeah, but they're not scriptural, because it doesn't talk about that,
yeah,
in the scriptures, except that you shall cast out devils.
Yeah.
And certainly that is a deliverance ministry, but
that's for every believer, too.
The point,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
the deliverance. I have a deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You work for,
yeah,
FedEx, or what? We use these terminologies,
yeah,
and they're unscriptural,
yeah,
terminologies. So I think that places of deliverance and setting free from addictions and so forth fall under the category not only of having the authority to cast out devils, but also has to do with the gifts of healing. I think that it falls within that, because you couldn't just get somebody, you know, cast out a devil like the young man in Mark, the 9th chapter,
yeah,
you know, the Spirit threw him in the water and in the fire and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't just cast the devil out and not treat his bones.
He would
have had to be healed. He would have had to be touched.
Yeah.
And so that might have happened through his mother and father, but it might have happened when Jesus cast out the devil.
Yeah.
He might have got healed instantly at that, yeah, time.
And as you were saying, even in the last episode of this gift, the gifts of healing is for the whole man.
Yes.
Yeah, the spirit,
yep,
spirit, soul, body, emotionally,
yeah,
mentally.
And there is a healing of the soul.
Yeah.
That a lot of times we don't, you know, David talked, and he even spoke to his own soul. You know, soul, why art thou cast down?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you just discouraged? Why are you put out? His soul vexed him.
Mm.
There were, Job spoke about his soul being afflicted. He wanted to die.
Yeah.
And these are the woman with the issue of blood. When Jesus said, you know, thy faith hath made thee whole, Well, that word whole means, you know, he, God has touched you in the entirety of your triune being.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, you know, we know that we can be hurt in our spirits, a wounded spirit.
Yeah.
That's not a soul, but a wounded spirit is harder than to manage or to get back than taking a fortified city.
Yeah.
Well, that means that we can be hurt like that. Well, it can only take God, because you can't go to Walmart and say, hey, give me 2 ounces of, of this or that, because I have something going on in my spirit.
Yeah.
And then healing has to do with the soul.
Yeah.
And the soul is very important, because it, the word soul is the same word that we use neck for.
Yeah.
In other words, it attaches our mind and our body together.
Yeah.
And if that soul is disconnected or hurt, wounded, or anything like that, then the things that flow out of our spirit, the fruits of the spirit, faith, and all of those things, if they do not flow out, then, and it's broke at the soul, then the body cannot express them, and it cannot receive from faith, because you've been hurting your soul.
Yeah.
So when Jesus says, I come to heal the brokenhearted, that word is the word for soul.
Yeah.
And so that word healing does minister, like you said, Rob, to the entirety of the makeup of man.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the whole part of man and not just one part. Sometimes we're always dealing with one part or the other.
Yeah. You know, I think it's so important, too, Pastor, that, that when we see this and understand it, because you know, we're being saved, spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
Right? We're regenerating.
And it's progressive.
It's progressive, yeah.
Yes.
So we're still looking for our ultimate salvation.
Right.
Even though we're saved and we're being saved, we will be saved. So you can think of healing as in the same way, that there has to be the gifts of healing, because healing in is in the atonement.
Yes.
It's part of our salvation. And ultimately, because, you know, everyone that Jesus healed in the Bible eventually died.
Yeah.
And they're awaiting the resurrection.
Yeah.
So ultimately, there is the full expression of healing. But it is for the whole man, spirit,
yes,
soul, and body.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And when it talks about, you know, like you said, the last enemy is going to be destroyed, is death.
Death,
it doesn't mean people aren't going to die anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it does, because people are going to be eternal.
Yeah.
But it does, because even after Jesus comes and reigns, and that enemy of death is overthrown and defeated, at the end of that, there are people that, at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil is loose for a season. Yeah. He convinces people, even after they've seen Jesus, seen angelic movement, seen us, the resurrected people, they will still be deceived under the rule of men that have been set up to rule over certain cities.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And though they'll be living in a spiritual world, they'll still be able to be deceived, much like a third of the angels that the devil took with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that will tell you how powerful of a deceiver that he is, and how, in, I want to say, pertinent that the truth is that we live by the scripture and not be deceived. Because all deception needs is for, if you write, let's say we would write the word ill, I-L-L. Well, if you didn't dot that T, somebody could be convinced that that was an E.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could say, well, that means God wants you to have an eel. not that he's against ill, he's against eels.
Yeah.
Now, that could be argued, and you could say, yeah, maybe he just didn't make that loop. But that's why we have to, Jesus said, I'm coming to fulfill all the law.
Yeah.
You're going to know that I am the truth.
Absolutely.
Because of the jot and the tittles and the crossing of the T's.
That's right, yeah.
And
the enemy, when he came to Jesus, tempted him with scripture, but, you know, he twisted it. And
just
enough to...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Take a couple of dots out and a couple crosses of the T's, you got what? Instead of it, you would have lit.
Yeah.
So it's imperative that we hold to the truth and that we understand those things. And remember that every time a gift is manifest, the fruits of the Spirit verify the identity of the believer. The gifts of the Spirit identify the working or the identity of God in his involvement, and it establishes absolute things about God.
Absolutely.
Because he's not a respecter of persons. if God gave gifts of had gifts of healing, yeah, then guess what? He would have to be opposed to,
yeah,
sickness.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what they begin to teach in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Can you read that, Rob? Yeah. Deuteronomy 7, 15. And we're going to couple up with Acts, the 10th chapter, the first message. This is one of the first times that God is speaking to Israel, and he's revealing himself, yeah, to Israel.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 7:15 says, "And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee."
Now, that is an absolute statement.
Yeah.
That is the absolute nature and character of God. And then Peter says to the church, Cornelius has come out by the direction of God. God has showed Cornelius that what God he cleanses is not common. So Peter could have preached a lot of things,
yeah,
but he preaches in Acts 10, 34, he preaches that God's not a respect of persons, and then he preaches how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good,
yeah,
and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Mm. And the reason he did that was that God was with him.
Yeah.
And so we begin to see that God is unraveling to us that he is a healer.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, he preaches this to the youth of the church.
Yeah.
The youth of those that have just come into the faith, those that know nothing and are looking to know God.
Yeah.
And Peter preaches, number one, God respect the persons. In other words, don't think he'll do anything for anybody that he won't do for you.
Yeah.
Secondly, is that Jesus went about doing good, and all oppression is of the devil. So every time Jesus healed, he was setting the captive free.
Yeah.
He was healing those that were oppressed. He came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
You said that it was in our redemption.
Yeah.
Let's go to John, the, third chapter, and let's look at verse 14. John 3:14. I know we're so used to John 3:16, but...
No, this is important.
Yeah, the prelude to that,
absolutely,
is very important. Go ahead and read that, Rob.
And it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up."
And read on down to 18.
"That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God."
Now, we see here that it says that Jesus came to be lifted up,
yeah,
as Moses lifted up the serpent,
yeah,
in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So, now, why was Moses lifted up? Why did Moses lift up the serpent?
Yep.
If we go back to Numbers 21, we'll see that this is a type of Christ being crucified, and it is a showing us that in redemption, we can see,
yep,
what God wrought.
Yep, absolutely. Moses, Numbers 21.
And
let me see which...
And my pages sticking together.
nine. It's the whole this whole passage. But,
okay.
I could start reading here.
All right. Just, yeah, go ahead and start reading.
It says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived."
Now that is a type,
yeah,
of Moses showing what,
yeah,
would happen prophetically,
yeah,
and that serpent being lifted up is the defeat that Jesus said when he was lifted up, that the prince of this world would be cast
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then during that when man looked at the cross, the defeat of sin, the defeat of Satan, whosoever, when he looked at him, even if he'd already been bitten, he was healed. And those that looked at the cross lived.
Lived, absolutely.
When did they start living? As soon as they saw.
Saw.
When does man get eternal life? Man doesn't get eternal life when he dies.
No.
Man has eternal life as soon as he's born again. He
absolutely.
That hath the Son hath life.
Yeah.
And so we see here that Moses, in a symbolic way, lifts up the defeat of the serpent. And when that serpent is, when he's recognized that there has been a substitution made for man's sin, behold, the man is healed.
And every man, apart from Christ, has been bitten by the serpent, the devil.
Absolutely.
For all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
And
I love what John says about Jesus. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
So there is...
Absolutely. And it all just gels. And that lines perfectly up with Isaiah 53. Let's read Isaiah 53. I think it's 1 through 5. You can read the whole chapter, but this has to do with Jesus bearing our sins and bringing about healing. Go ahead.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground, and he hath no form nor comeliness that we, when we should see him, that there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with him, and with his stripes, we are healed.
With his stripes, we are healed.
Yeah.
Now, Isaiah prophesies to the future.
Yeah.
Then, 1 Peter 2:24 says that who his own self died for our sins, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness by whose stripes. Now Peter preaches revelatory, but then Matthew, this is looking forward. Matthew looks back after he has seen it in operation in Matthew 8:16-17, and it says Jesus healed all those that were sick and diseased, possessed with demons, that it might be fulfilled that was written by Isaiah.
Yeah.
This right here is without a shadow of a doubt an establishing fact that Jesus has conquered sickness when he conquered sin.
And you know, Peter says, by his stripes we were healed.
Were.
Yeah,
past tense,
absolutely.
So these men, this is looking forward. Moses prophetically sets it forth. Isaiah establishes it and prophetically. And then Matthew and Peter look back after the fact and say, This is what took place.
Yeah.
It's interesting here that it said, who hath believed our report?
Yeah.
And it says, but we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God.
Yeah.
Now, Isaiah is to the nation of Israel. Who does Peter bring that revelation to?
Yeah. He's
to the nation of Israel.
He
is the apostle to Israel.
Israel, yeah.
And so when he says, no, he... bore our sicknesses, by his stripes ye were healed.
Yeah.
He's saying he wasn't smitten of God.
Yeah.
This was God's plan.
Yeah.
This was a substitutionary work
for
him. So we begin to see that God was a healer and he's really always been a healer.
Yeah.
So let's go over to Luke 13 and verse 10. This is an interesting passage of scripture. I'm always intrigued to see, to see the church hidden in the Gospels.
Yes.
And when we look at, let's start in verse 10, Rob, read on down.
Okay. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and he was bowed and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her unto him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And then the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?
Wow.
Amen.
Jesus says, the devil did this, not God.
Yeah.
Now, this woman is in the church. She's serving.
Yeah.
She's working. She's been there 13 years.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting part that I find is that in verse 14, the ruler of the synagogue says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. The 6 days of work were symbolic that God had worked 6 days.
Exactly.
So he says, look, you can work, and God will work in these 6 days. And he says, and in them, the 6 days that God is working, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath. In other words, the work, the healing is a work of God. Now this man said, oh no, it's got to be on the Sabbath. Not on the Sabbath in 6 days. But notice what he says. Come and be. He didn't say come and play the lottery. Come and maybe you're a special one. Come and maybe God will be awake that day. Maybe come and maybe God will be walking through. Or, you know, hey, just come and get, you know, you never know what God's going to do. But here he says, no, no, come and be healed. Now, this is a Pharisee or a Sadducee, and he is ruling in a synagogue, and he says, come and be healed. Now, that's interesting to me because Jesus comes on the scene, and there are hundreds of thousands of people sick, blind, halt, deaf, dumb, leprosy, and all that. But this guy says, you could come 6 days a week and be healed. In other words, God can have a truth for you that is without a shadow of a doubt obtainable to you, and it'll be the work of the Lord. But if you don't come to him, the work doesn't happen. Now, every leper could have been healed. Because the word of the law was given.
Leviticus 14.
And he said, if you serve me and do the laws, then you know what? You'll be blessed. Every leper could have been blessed. In other words, there was no leper in Israel that should have been a leper. No blind person, no deaf person, no halt, no lame, no. So what they did, they replace it. Every season an angel comes down and stirs
the
thing. And then the guy says, well, you know, so when the angel is here, nobody can get me to the water. My problem with that passage of scripture that people want to, well, there was a pool of Bethesda. Well, there was a pool of Bethesda. But where was that established in Scripture except in the imagination of man's mind?
And Jesus had to come and heal someone.
And so Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus doesn't say, hey, you know, I know you're waiting for the stirring of the angel. He doesn't say that.
No.
Somebody there that believes that says that. And the problem is, where were the testimonies of the people that were healed? You know, we have nothing except the statement of a man that isn't healed. And Jesus comes in the midst of them and heals them. So people say, but the pool of Bethesda and the stirring of the water. Well, if Jesus had said that, I would believe that. But the man said it, not Jesus.
And you know, you're right. You make a good point there.
And I know some, oh my God, you can't do it. Well, Jesus didn't say it. You know, Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But God doesn't take away. He's a giver.
Yeah.
And so there are things in the Bible that are said, and it's true that they are said, but it doesn't mean that God has said them.
Yeah.
And so this man tells the story. It could be it was a tradition.
Yeah. That's a high probability.
It was a tradition.
Yeah.
And if people say, well, you know, whoever steps in the water. Have you been to the pool of Bethesda?
Yes.
Yeah. How deep is the pool of Bethesda?
It's pretty deep. It goes
21 foot.
It's good. 21, way down.
23 foot. Straight down.
Yeah.
It don't have no place that you're going to, well, we're going to lead our sheep out 2 feet and they're going to, oh, no. Yeah.
Drop straight down.
So, yeah, they're going to be healed. In another world, they'll be healed.
Yeah.
But why didn't this man roll over to the side? And soon why didn't he roll on in?
Yeah.
See, he was banking on somebody traditionally. Yeah. Now, he'd been there from his mother's womb.
Yeah.
He's crippled, and he doesn't make it to the side. Like, how bright you got to be to say, hey, the quick sway in the water, just turn over.
Yeah.
And he's complaining, well, you know, excuse. But what we have to understand, he's kind of like a slothful man. There's a line in the road. There's always a reason that something doesn't happen for people that don't have faith.
No, you're right.
Now, that guy was telling a story.
Yeah.
It never indicates that the story is true.
No, no. You know, it's interesting. When I was in Israel, the pool, because there was a guy there, and I was teaching, and he mentioned, because he had back issues, and he mentioned that he wished that pool was still there so he can get healed.
Well, I said, well, the pool, the water's not. Just jump in.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, we don't need that. I laid hands on him, and he was healed. So, and everyone started rejoicing. And, you know, right there, I said, we don't need the pool. That's
right. I'm not saying maybe one day it didn't happen and somebody said, oh, man, you know, I just got, this is what happened. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't confirm it.
Yeah.
He just said he went to the pool of Bethesda where a multitude of sick people were laying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were believing in something. But sometimes the traditions of men, things that we build, keep us from really doing what God wants us to do.
You're right. You know, Pat, in light of Deuteronomy, none of these diseases shall be befall you. And the blessings of Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Yeah.
Israel had, you know, even eternal life is promised in keeping the law. Of course, none of them have ever kept the law except for Jesus.
Right. Yes.
Jesus comes, keeps it perfectly, but also receives on himself all, he walks in under the Father, every blessing. And so he's bringing the healing that they couldn't bring.
Right.
He's establishing the righteousness that they didn't have.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's even in a synagogue and a man with unclean spirit cries out. So
right.
And
he heals him.
And he heals him. So there could have been deliverance. There could have been healing. They could have had all those things. Because it was all God's truth, as you said, was established already in the Word.
And even the Pharisee knew that, hey, you come and do what the Word says to do, you're going to be healed.
Yeah.
And, the problem, I think, too, this guy, I don't know what his problem was, except that he wouldn't tell the woman, hey, come Monday and get healed.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you come to church tomorrow and we'll pray and beseech God, and the God that takes sickness and disease out of you will heal you.
Yeah.
See, it's like Israel forgot that God was alive.
Yeah.
And so they look for all these alternatives.
That's true.
And, you know, the one with the issue of blood.
Yeah.
You know, we love the story, and I love the story, and I think, wow, what a great woman of faith. But she could have went to the synagogue anytime.
Yeah. And yeah, it's true. And I love what Jesus brings out here. Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham.
Right.
So there's the sons and daughters of Abraham live by faith.
Yes.
You know, and this was her right and her privilege to be healed.
Yeah. And we see her bound.
And yet she's
so
bound.
I think that we need to just to glean is that, you know, God is willing to do multiple things, but so many people suffer needlessly because they do nothing.
Yeah.
And so, and then, you know, Jesus wants people healed. And not only does he want them healed, he wants them set free. Yeah. And let's go over to Luke and let's look at. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew does it better. Matthew 10:1. Jesus is giving his disciples.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of people say, well, that was the disciples then. Well, they were told to go and to make disciples.
Yes.
In other words, duplicate themselves. So they couldn't leave something out, or they would have fell short.
Jesus said, go and teach them everything I commanded.
Making disciples.
And this is part of his command.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember when they were asking, well, how did he heal you?
Yeah.
He said, what? You want to be a disciple too?
Yeah, that's right.
And so evidently they understood that if you follow somebody, find out how they're doing it, that you could be discipled by them.
Yeah.
Why don't you read, Rob, from chapter 10, 1 down through 8.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter; Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee; and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the publican; James, the son of Alphaeus; and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah.
And that tells us that Jesus, really, another passage of Scripture says that Jesus sent them to heal the sick, and cleanse the leper, cast out devils, and to raise the dead to the cities where he himself
was about
would
to go.
Come.
Luke 10, yeah.
Yeah, and so we also have to realize that we are being sent forth as disciples into the world, to the world that Jesus is going to come to.
Yes.
And now why did they go and do these four things to the city where Jesus was coming?
Yeah. Because if Jesus was already going there, he would do it, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And it says, freely you have received, now freely give.
Yeah.
Now, how could somebody have healing and not partake of it?
Yeah.
But we can.
Yeah.
Just like the woman in Luke, the 13th chapter.
Yeah.
She could have been healed anytime.
Yeah.
She didn't. Every blind person, lame, halt, could have been healed. Jesus said, now you freely receive, now freely give.
Yeah.
In other words, there's an abundance, but there's also enough for you.
Yeah.
And so we could say, look, I have received healing. Yeah. I've received power to cast out devils, to resist them, to come against them, and I've received power to heal.
Yeah.
And I have health in my life.
Absolutely.
I remember my grandson, Lincoln, each one of them does something crazy that marks them. Well, Lincoln used to, when he was little, not only would he get, Quentin would throw stuff away. Man, I mean, one time I said, where's my ring? I said, Quentin, you get my ring? He said, yeah. I said, where is it? He said, I forget. Well, I started looking at all the trash, cans. I found my ring, the one that was given to me as an inheritance, got 9 diamonds in it. And he threw it in the trash. And then Lincoln threw one down the toilet. But Lincoln was going through the office and slapping himself on the head saying, devil, come out of me in Jesus' name. And I'd like to see him do that a couple more times, because I think there might be a couple in there. Not really. But we here have been given, Rob, freely.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus told them to go and make disciples. So in order for us to see this in its entirety is, if we are disciples, then we have the Gospels to learn from.
Yes,
this
absolutely.
Is their voice to us. This is their teaching to us.
Absolutely.
And so as we hear it, guess what? We are transformed, just like the Pharisee said to the blind, the blind man said to the Pharisee, why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be his disciple?
Yeah.
And so that's how we become disciples, is by hearing. Let's go to one more passage of Scripture, Rob, and let's look at Matthew, the 9th chapter, and verse 35, I think it is.
Yeah. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
Now, we are to be followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
What does the word disciple mean?
It's an apprentice, someone who follows or imitates the person that they're under, they're
right.
learning from.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So could you be a true representative of Jesus without miracles, healings, and the gifts of the Spirit?
No.
No, you could not. But some would say, but it's the fruit. Well, I do not belittle love.
Yeah.
You need to have love.
Yeah.
And anybody that doesn't walk in love, then we need to understand that they are blemishing their identity. But signs and wonders are not blemishing Jesus' identity.
No, they're not. Yeah.
So we can express Jesus' identity and confirm it.
Yeah.
And see results, because Jesus said, you know, when they came, Jesus said that in Matthew, the 7th chapter, I believe it says, that you'll know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
And they come up to Jesus and said, have we not cast out devils in name? Have we not prophesied? Have we not done miracles? Yes,
yeah.
But depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They had lost their identity.
Yeah.
But what they did never stripped Jesus of his.
Nope. That's true. That's right.
Hallelujah.
And if we're going to follow Christ, then we need to follow Christ in all that he did.
Amen. Absolutely. Totally.
Yeah.
Follow Jesus.
The Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yes.
And we see Paul's life. He, you know, healed the sick and
yep.
preached the gospel. He loved, you know, he had the fruit and the gifts.
Yeah.
So.
And there were two things that Paul identified himself as, like yeah. you just said, the fruit and the gifts.
Yeah.
One was that the signs of an apostle followed me.
Yeah.
And he also quoted that in 1 Corinthians 2,
yeah.
4, 5, 6, and 7, Hebrews 2, 13, 14, and 15.
Yeah.
And I believe 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. Mm. But then he turns around and says, but you know my manner of life.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he points to the fruit of his life
that's right, yeah.
to establish that he is God's man
yeah.
by fruit, but he's also God's representative by
yeah.
the signs and wonders.
The signs and wonders.
So you're right. He identified himself
yeah.
with both.
Yeah.
And we should be identified because he said, be your followers of me as I am of Christ.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 11:1. So we should be
yeah.
followers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Doing what he
did.
Amen.
Just as the apostles did what Jesus did.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
We see it. The book of Acts is them living out the gospel.
And they called
yeah.
them what?
Yeah.
Christians.
Yeah.
In other words, Christ-like ones.
Yeah.
And it says, and they turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
What was the world? The world was sickness, disease, poverty, death, anger, strife, division,
yeah.
You know, ungratefulness, all of those things.
Injustice.
But
yeah.
when Jesus comes,
yeah.
he turns it upside down.
Yeah.
And he says love. He says healing. He says abundant life.
Yeah.
He says all of these things. And that's what the disciples preached.
Yeah.
They preached what Jesus said. And what they did was they turned the world
yeah.
upside down. They took the order of Satan and put it
yeah.
in its rightful place under the order of God.
They said they were preaching another king.
Yes.
King
yeah,
Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Another ruler.
Yeah.
And so they flipped his kingdom upside down and they established the rule of Jesus.
Yeah.
So next week, next Tuesday, we're going to talk about, Rob, the ways that God heals.
Okay.
So I'll kind of give you a head up. I never give you a heads up.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to be talking about the ways that God heals. And remember that when Jesus said to the blind man, thy faith hath made you whole. Well, faith comes from where? It comes from hearing the word.
Yeah.
And when you hear the word, faith cometh. Now, is there any place in the Bible that God or preachers or the disciples or the apostles preach, God has made me sick? Is there any place in the Bible where you have to believe for sickness? None.
Not one.
Because the gospel and its redemptive message does not entail sickness and disease from God.
Nope.
Now, when we hear faith, what do we hear? We hear faith that he is a healer. We hear faith that by his stripes we are healed. We hear faith that God, freely you have received, now freely give.
Yeah.
Those are statements of faith. And if God didn't want to heal, he would have to take all the miracles out.
Yeah.
Why? Because whoever reads that miracle gets the faith that caused that miracle to happen.
Yeah.
So if God filled these gospels up, Rob, with healing, he's empowering people to have a healing, but then he'd have to say, nah, I'm not going to honor that. I'm not going to honor their faith. No, I don't care what they said. That was just a joke. That was for other people. It ain't for them.
Well, it's like those that say that it isn't for today. So that means we just get to read about other people getting healed.
And so we get to have hope with no chance of seeing it manifest.
Yeah, exactly.
But faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So if you read this right here, and you find out that God was a healer, you get hope.
Yeah.
And hope is accompanied by faith.
Faith, that's right.
All righty. Now, I want to pray for you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that God, the gifts of healing manifest in people's lives today. I loose, God, right now, the gifts of healing upon the people. I loose them in the name of Jesus. I loose, God, that they'll begin to be active. I loose them, God, that they'll begin to manifest in their life. I loose them, God, in the name of Jesus. I loose a boldness upon them.
Lord.
I loose right now, God, the gifts of healing in Jesus Christ's name. I loose it upon them in the name of Jesus. I loose it, God, upon their life in Jesus Christ's name.
Yes, Lord.
God, we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We'll see you Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Amen.
God bless you.